You are listening to Directions from a Spiritual Tour Guide podcast. I'm your host, Chanel Scott. I'm a psychic medium and energy healer who has been supporting those on a spiritual journey for over a decade. I'm your tour guide into the world of the unknown, showing you that the magic of the universe is at your fingertips. I believe spirituality is simple and fun, and this podcast will make it easily accessible, giving you the real talk on all things divine and spiritual, helping you to step into the flow. Manifesting your dreams because we all deserve to be living our best life. Are you ready for an adventure? Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to the newest episode of Directions from a Spiritual Tour Guide podcast. I am so excited to introduce you to Jen Johnson, the intuitive nurse. She is joining us today for a conversation around intuition, but I really want to start. I'm not even going to give an introduction. I'm just going to let you talk about your origin story because I love it and kind of what you're doing right now in the nursing community, because it, every time I kind of think about it, it gives me goosebumps. It's what we need. It's the, you know, the evolution. So go, it's all you.
Oh my God. So I've been an ER nurse for almost 17 years now. Have worked big and small hospitals. It's been a gong show, to put it mildly. Origin story pretty well. When COVID happened, burnt out so hard that it wasn't even funny. Had no supports. Everybody assumed that we were gonna pass on. We assumed we were gonna pass on. Had no idea what was happening day to day. So it just, you know, the amount of stress that everybody was under, you know, it seemed to just make me crumble. So it finally got to a point where I, you know, finally got on antidepressants after never taking any depressants before. And when roughly August of 2020 came around, I decided that I wanted to write a book and, you know, started writing down stories and ended up listening to Llewellyn, who is a publisher out of the States, and they were having an online book fair. And one of the authors was talking about her book, Intuition at Work. And I thought, intuition at work? I'm like, I use my intuition all the time at work. And it was just this light bulb that completely went off. I was like, oh, I think that's the theme. Like, let me just look at my stories that I've written down. And sure enough, every single one had this thread of intuition, all from work. And I'm like, all right, we'll just kind of like keep that in my back pocket. So continued to work on the book. In the meantime, the Ontario government decided that full-time healthcare workers who had worked at the bedside during COVID were going to get a $5,000 bonus. Fun fact, we probably saw maybe $2,400, $2,200 of that after taxes.
Oh, yes.
So when my husband and I were talking about it, he's like, what are you going to do with your money? I thought, you know what, let me do the most ridiculous thing I can absolutely think of. And had a friend in the community who was a psychic or a medium. And so she was offering classes. So I'm like, you know what, forget this. I'm just going to go take psychic classes. Not only do I get to hang out with like a really, really good friend, you know what? I get to support her. The money goes back to her. I'm really happy with that. And it gives me an excuse to hang out with her. So I ended up enrolling in this program. And it just was so utterly life-changing that, you know, it just opened me right up to things. You know, I was already kind of on the understanding that I was an empath and how that affected me at work and how I could kind of block at work. And I was already on that trajectory, but it just really solidified it. And then at the same time, I also started doing sensory deprivation tanks and just floating. So there's one in Hamilton that, you know, again, they were also offering a burnout program, and it was 6 weeks and you'd float once a week, every week. And then they also had like a gratitude journal that you're doing and some other like information and reading and stuff, but nothing too crazy. But I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm finally going to invest in me. This is what I'm doing for me. It's not about the family. It's not about my career. It's not about my kids. It's not about anything other than me, which is so selfish and so crazy.
It's not selfish. No,
no, no, no. But like, you know,
it's so powerful.
At times it feels like, you know, as a woman, as a nurse, you're just like, how you're being so selfish because you're actually taking time for yourself. And you're like, let me just change that in real quick. That's the second book.
Yeah.
So, ended up doing the psych classes at the same time as the sensory deprivation tanks, at the same time as the antidepressants were starting to work, at the same time as doing like a ton of therapy. And it was just such this involved process of putting time and effort in me
Well,
that I had never
taking
done
care of
before.
you, putting yourself back together after being taught,
Yeah.
like, my heart bled for healthcare
Oh.
during, COVID. It was such a challenging time because you guys were the front line. The rest of us, we got to react to
Yeah.
whatever we were told to do next. I worked in fitness and yoga, and we were just kind of like, tell us what's next so we can run a class. Whereas you
Right.
guys were like, okay, what are we doing constantly? So
Oh, and the
beautiful that you took
policies,
that time.
yeah, the policies, they change morning to afternoon to night.
Oh, I
Morning,
can
oh,
only imagine.
it's droplet in the morning. Oh, it's airborne in the afternoon. Oh no, we're back to droplet and maybe some contact. Like we don't, it changed how it spread daily.
Daily.
And you understood that the corporations and the hospitals were just doing the best with what the knowledge that they were being given, and we were all figuring it out at the exact same time. But it just was like you really felt just so up in the air. So taking the time to, yeah, look at myself and being like, is this what I want to do? So ended up, starting a little business, the Caring Intuitive, started doing readings on Etsy, figured out that I was a medical intuitive also.
Which
So
makes total sense. Let's just put our two professions together, right?
let's
I
just,
think
it makes sense, yeah.
it's always interesting with because I teach intuition as well, and I get to see people like you come in and go, oh, I know I'm kind of, and then it's like you're like, you were just looking at the candy store window. Let me open the door and come on in and eat whatever you want, right? So it's that beautiful piece of like this opening that is your like, okay, wait a second. And then you start to discover all these things about yourself that you were just like, where was all of this hiding? And I'm so excited that it's here, kind of thing. So, yeah,
Yeah.
medical intuition is like a given for you with your knowledge and your background and your like capacity for intuition. Like, yeah, total.
But crazy, but then trying to come to terms with that. Like it took me years to come to terms with just the empath piece, let alone like medical intuition. And you're like, what the hell is medical intuition? Never heard of that before. So, trying to fall down that rabbit hole and coming to terms with, on the Western end being so disconnected from
Yeah.
ourselves and our bodies and the medical healthcare system and all this kind of stuff. So it took a lot to kind of piece together. And so when I started offering like readings on Etsy, it was like $5 originally, just because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, because what do you, you're, I'm just trying to figure out what the heck to do. There's no
Absolutely.
blueprint, there's no road map. How do I like, do I write stuff down? Do I not write stuff down? Do I do virtual, like in-person meetings? Am I just doing it on my own time? 100% all over the place. So trying to figure that out. So ended up coming to a point where, somebody would buy a reading. I would say, okay, send me a picture of you, especially like face, no filters, pretty recent. And what I would do is I would sit in the dark because I love the dark and would just zoom in on the eyes and just kind of sit there and be like, okay, like this is the person, this is who I'm thinking about, and then would start to meditate. And really, I'm a completely awful meditator. The ADHD is strong at the best of times. So usually I'm all over the place, but with the pressure of like having a client that you're like, oh, okay, like I do need to sit and I do need to put this forward and I'm being, paid for my time and exchanges and all this. And so would sit. And then I just kind of think about that person, think about their eyes and just be like, just sit there. And parts of my body would physically twinge. They would twinge, they would get an ache, they would get heaviness or like shoulder heaviness, tightness in the chest. There was one time where felt like I was drowning
Yep.
and ended up that had never happened before, and it turns out that I tried to reach out because they had paid for both like the scan and then like a follow-up meeting afterwards,
Yeah.
and it was the daughter who had bought everything. And I remember doing that was probably the only reading that I did that I was like, you need to go to a physician like now, like I don't know what is going on, but I feel like it's heart failure overload. And again, I can't diagnose, but it
Yeah.
feels like there's waters in my lungs. And I just like so much chest pain and so much heaviness. And I just can't get over it. So I'm like, I need you to please have your mother seen, kind of thing. And so then it's like, okay, well, they never signed up for the follow-up meeting. So like I'm just kind of like left in the lurch. I'm like, I think she was already in the hospital. And I think the daughter was just kind of looking for confirmation as to what was going on.
Right.
And, you know, kind of the ethics of everything. It's like, you know, somebody's just buying something from me, and I don't have a reference picture of them to start. So I don't know if they're buying it for themselves, for their child. And
Yeah.
I said, like, no kids. You know, it was very interesting. Had read a mother and daughter duo several times. The daughter had really severe autism to the point where she was pretty well nonverbal. Didn't know that going in. And so the first time I did it, you know, just kind of explaining things and this is what I felt, and you know, medically in the Western world, this is what this could be, but also, you know, this is how emotionally it could be, you know, this is how emotions
Yeah.
translate into physical symptoms, and back and forth, and this, that, and the other. And so, you know, ended up, she was like my one of my first clients, and she has followed me for years, and you know, so lovely. And you know, it's read her and our daughter like, God, 10, 12 times
Oh,
over the
wow.
span of several years. Well, not several years, but like, you know, 3, 4, 5 years now. So it's just been super interesting. And then to then fall into, you know, writing the book and getting the book published, and you know, mitigating, here is my professional RN licensed
Yes.
self. Here is my spiritual woo-woo witchy self. And how do you merge the two together without alienating either side? You know, how do you kind of come to a happy medium? And so it's very much, you know, you kind of just play it by ear as to like who am I talking to, you know, what kind of podcast am I on, where am I in the world, am I somewhere that's, you know, starting to really embrace spirituality and moving past just yoga spirituality kind of thing to more like embracing themselves and all this other these ideas. So you know, going to conferences with nurses, and in 50 nurses figuring out that three of us are witches was like insanity. Because here we are at this exceedingly professional conference. You know, we've all got our own businesses. We're looking to improve, you know, nursing wellness and the healthcare system and all this stuff. And all of a sudden we just kind of all we're, you know, you look at each other, you're like, so are you spiritual? Like, and they're like, yeah, are you spiritual? And you know, you look for the crystal bracelets, and you look for any symbols, and you go from there. So
Magnets that draw us to each other that we're like, oh, you're my people. I'll come and hang out with you.
absolutely. So it's been such a fun journey, and you know, I've kind of come back a bit from doing the readings and all that kind of stuff. You know, with price increases, obviously business goes down, and yada yada yada. So I was like, you know what? I am just going to focus more on my book, and then the journals that I've come up with to help nurses transition from school to bedside, and you know, we'll legitimize the business that way, and you know, then it will free me up to do whatever my soul wants to do, you know, as I go, because I. Everyone's like, oh, what's your business plan? I'm like, I don't know. Flying by the seat of my pants, as I always have, as I have professionally now done. And so I am just enjoying the ride, and I'm saying yes to things that either continue to come up or are opportunities that I had no idea how I even got offered these opportunities. Yeah, it's just been such an interesting go of finding my way, and then the business end of things and the nursing end of things and the spiritual
Definitely.
end of things.
I do want to talk more about like the crossing of worlds because I
Oh
think
yeah.
that's important, but I really just
Huge.
want you to share like what do you have going on? So you have a book, tell us the name of the book and tell us
So
journals because they're fantastic.
oh my God. So Nursing Intuition, How to Trust Your Gut, Save Your Sanity, and Survive Your Career. We Was my baby. The ongoing joke is if I ever need a new therapist, you just hand them the book and be like, so volume one as to why I am the way that I am. the journals are everything from like 30 days to wellness, for just kind of everybody to then, the nursing journal specifically, keeping track of what's going on in a shift so that you can kind of keep track of how you're learning, because a lot of us, when you go from, school to bedside, the learning curve is straight up. You've
Oh,
barely got enough
gotta be.
knowledge to make it through a day, let alone like know when somebody's deteriorating, let alone know what orders to anticipate, how to talk to patients, how to talk to providers, how to where your line is. There's a lot of us who work a bit above where the line is supposed to stop, right? So, we're anticipating orders, we're talking to the doc to be like, hey, this, that, and the other is going on. I'm gonna need this medication, that lab work, that da, 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 da. Can you order that for me now so that by the time you actually go see the patient, that it's all done and all teed
You
up,
have
and
the
the patient,
information you need. Yeah.
I have the information I need. You can just do a one touch with the patient, and then, oh, look at that, we fixed your heart rate, you're feeling better, we'll get your referral, bye-bye. Like trying to tee up people and get them through the healthcare system as quickly as possible, as effectively as possible, to really just keep the beast moving, because it never stops, and there's
Yeah.
always, you never know what's going to walk in the door. So if I can take care of the people who are currently in front of me, and at least know that I've got blood work on them, I've got imaging on them if I need it. If there's somebody who's sicker, I can kind of pluck them out of the waiting room and like, okay, like I don't know what's going on with you, but my gut's telling me that something's cooking.
Yeah.
Let's bring you in. Let's have another look at you, and let me figure you out a little bit better so that I can say like, oh, you are as sick as I think you are. Oh, I think we're actually okay, and I think we'll just kind of wait a beat before I push for the doc to see you, or push for further testing kind of thing. So
Right.
it's been, trying to keep track of all that as you go is so insane that, you're reading people's charts and you're coming across diagnoses or pathophysiology or medications that you're like, oh, when I'm home, I'll remember to look those up. No, you
Right.
won't. No, you won't.
Make a note in the
No.
journal and then go
No.
and look that up so you can
Yeah.
learn something. Yeah, I
Yeah.
got it.
Like, because the second you clock out, your brain's mush for
Yeah.
like a good hour after you finish working. Like, you're just trying to like, and a lot of times just physically comprehend what you've seen, who you've come into contact with, what's happened, all this kind of stuff. Just medically, legally wrap your mind around
Yeah.
everything. So, and then you go on and you forget, right? So you forget
Right.
to look up, well, what happened that day? What did we do with that guy? What, going through all these things. And so, like, looking back, I don't know how many people I've touched. I don't know how many people I've wrapped in body bags. I have no, I can't even guesstimate, because
Right.
it's just been 17 years, and I never took the time to keep track. And so to be able to look back and watch my growth, like, I feel like I would have been so much happier with my own progress had I been able to keep track of my growth day to day.
Recognizing that growth instead of
Yeah.
just feeling constantly like you were under the wire and trying to survive kind of thing. I totally
Yeah.
get that. That's amazing.
Yeah. So that's been the 100 Shifts journal. That's the main one for that. And then there's a mini one, the 30 Shifts for nurses for that. There's a tweak on it for medics. There's also a heart failure or a cardiac patient's journal, just for symptom tracking, so that when you go to your ER or your cardiologist, you can be like, hey, this is how
Here
often I'm having
you
chest pain. It's
go.
lasting this long. This is what gets rid of it. This is what I was doing prior. This is what I was doing after. Da, 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 da. Because, we never have enough data, especially in heart failure patients.
Well, and definitely that piece of as a patient, as somebody who has no medical knowledge. Now I'm lucky I pay know how to pay attention to my own body, but you definitely are dealing with what am I supposed to be paying attention to? What am I supposed to
Yeah.
be tracking? What are the pieces? So I think that's a really powerful tool for somebody who's experiencing something that's big, like heart conditions that allows them that space to kind of track and have the information. I want to talk about that crossover of worlds because I know for myself that, I'm really lucky that my crossover doesn't have to happen. And I've always been able to keep my worlds kind of separate. I'm blessed in the yoga world. Crossover is easy because there's no questions asked. Everybody just tolerates you're crazy and it's good. But I've worked as a dance teacher. I've worked for government offices and those places. I've really kept my two worlds very separate, and to the point where a lot of people have no idea what I do as a job on the side. So it's been easy for me to kind of keep those two worlds separate and allow space so that the worlds that don't need it, not so much as like I'm embarrassed about what I do, but more this place of like, especially, teaching dance. I didn't want the dance studio to have to contend with some parent that's like, there's a witch teaching my kid dance. Who knows, right? I don't want, even in the yoga world, somebody said to us once, did that Buddha have to be here? I'm really uncomfortable with it. I'm like, yeah, it does. It was
That's
like a 6 foot Buddha statue. Not like, hey, could you move that? It's a 6 foot Buddha statue. But you know what I mean? Like, if you're not comfortable with the religious connotations that are here, then this is not the place for you to come. Maybe go to some place that teaches fitness, right? Like, so I think there's that thing. But for you've gone here, I've written this book about how I use my intuition in my job. Are you willing to like, so your worlds are very crossed. So do you
Very
want to
much
like
so.
touch on that a little bit?
Oh my
Because
God.
really,
It's.
you wrote a book on it.
Well, because I had to. That was what was. That was spirit. So, writing the book, that was 6 weeks. I spat that book out in 6 weeks, and I do not remember writing it.
Of course
Have
not.
no clue. Of course not.
Was all channeled, I'm sure.
I have no doubt. I remember, and the tinglies. I remember getting up super, super early, like 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock early. I remember staying up super late, 11, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock sometimes, which is not me. If I'm at home and I can be in bed by 8, I'm in bed by 8. I just remember this process of like, you have to get up, you have to write, you have to put it down, you gotta go, you gotta go, you gotta go. And most of the book, truly, like at least 50%, is my experiences. So when people ask about, when authors ask, like, oh, how long did it take you? And they're curious about the process and all this, and I say 6 weeks, they almost have a heart attack and fall over. And I'm like, no. It was like 14 years of ER nursing leading up to this. Like, it's 14 years worth of stories. So do not think that 6 weeks is any sort of benchmark. So, and then looking at it, so wrote the book, and then I'm sitting at it, and August 2020, this is when like a lot of the misinformation, disinformation about COVID and all this is really starting to heat up and perk up, and the divide is really, really starting to happen. And I'm going, I think if I put this out without any scientific background, I think I'd actually be putting my license at risk. Like, I think that really needs, does the medical community believe in this? Yes. Do we talk about it openly? No.
No.
You can, it is a 3 a.m. conversation when everything kind of chills out. We start telling ghost stories, we start talking back and forth, and you have that moment to relax, and you like your coworkers, you trust your coworkers, you go back and forth. That's when these stories come out. And they come out as teaching moments, not as I trusted my gut intuition moments. And heaven forbid you
Correct.
actually use intuition. It's a whole other, buzzword issue. But, the physicians use spidey sense as a term. That is 100% acceptable. 100% acceptable. If one physician goes to another physician, I don't know, but my spidey senses are tingling about this one. It is an
Which
it's an
they're just saying,
understanding.
my intuition is kicked in and I don't know what's happening, but I know we need to do something. So it's funny how we come up with terms. And I always joke, my spidey senses were going off. I think it's just one of those terms that everybody kind of gets.
And especially the nursing and medical world, like you very much have to know your audience. Like my audience, the nurses, 100%, I can say this too. The physicians, Some of them I can say this too, because have I been in a situation where I've, said to a physician, hey, like, I don't know what's going on, but like, this person's really, really sick. You need to come and see them now. They're like, no, they're not. Their vitals are fine. They look fine, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, like something. And I keep pushing and they keep putting me off. Patient ends up dying 6 hours later. And you're like,
Well, I warned you.
I'm like, I don't know. How else to I what else could I have done? And so now I carry that trauma of that
Yeah.
patient dying because it was so early on in my career and I had no idea what I
Right.
was doing,
Right.
and the idea was that the physicians knew all
Right.
at and it was still very much a little bit of a hierarchy. It's less so now. We're all coworkers now. We all work together now.
Beautiful.
But when I first started, it's still the hierarchy was still there. To then have to, get to quit that job 5 years later. And as I'm quitting, the same physician looks at me and goes like, don't let anybody tell you you don't know what you're doing. I'm like,
You're too little too
A,
late, my friend, but
so mad, so unbelievably mad. Didn't have to say anything more than that because I knew exactly what she was talking about. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me right now. Thanks. And had I never left that job, would you have said anything? Because you already waited 5 years. So, but thanks. Anywho, so it's like, hey, fine. So, getting to a place where it's like, okay, I can't really put out this book. Like, I really, A, I feel like I have to be traditionally published because it's the more scientific way, right? Like you're applying to publishers. Somebody else randomly says, I've looked at your book, I've looked at everything. I really believe in it. I think this needs to be put out there. I'm willing to put up the money to have this printed and edited and all the things. Like I believe in it that much. Like somebody else is saying that they believe in it. And to have it be traditionally published like it was supposed to be was amazing. Waited 2 years, went into editing. Within 3 months of editing, they're like, well, I think we're gonna go back to our physiotherapy books. I'm like, pardon?
Great, thanks.
Awesome. Great. Had done my very first money spell 2 days prior to that. So I was like, this is not what I was expecting because now I have to put, forward 5, 8, 10K to all the different people involved in getting a book up and running and published and all these things, be ready for Amazon so it doesn't look like some sort of very cheap hack job that
Right,
somebody's put
exactly.
forward. So, getting comfortable with being self-published is was a whole other life lesson. And then being able to find the science to be able to back up everything that I'm saying, like the fact that there was just not just so much information on intuition, but so much peer-reviewed evidence-based science on intuition in nursing specifically was just so utterly mind-boggling that I'm
I
like,
love that.
and following all the rules of publishing a paper, right? So everything was, appropriate and published and reviewed and was within the last 5 years and all these things. So I'm like, okay, I'm following the rules. I've found the science, and nursing says if it's evidence-based science, we should be teaching it despite what you may feel about it. So I'm like,
Here
this
we
is
go.
evidence-based science now.
That is my biggest kick about the spiritual world. I think people think because we're spiritual, we're like science, but I'm like,
No.
anytime science backs up the stuff that I do, I'm like, give it to me. I want to
Yeah.
learn it. I want to see how that science backs up this thing that I already do. And it's so cool to like be able to have that like actual evidence, factual
Yeah.
evidence that like says, yeah, this is happening. And
We're
I
back
do
behind
agree,
you.
like, years ago when I first learned Reiki and I was getting Reiki magazines, there was an article that Dr. Oz led a Reiki practitioner into an OR room, and I was like, oh my God, it's happening. Being able to volunteer, and this was years ago because my babies were little when I volunteered in hospice, and
Yeah.
now they're like, my baby is 16 and 16, 18, and 23. So, being in hospice and it being, not, and now I know Not every hospice has a healing program in it, but I was really blessed to have one that did. You know, seeing these like transformations and even like the medical intuition, you know, we do it differently, but I also do medical intuition and I use it with animals as well. And, you know, getting to see some of the pieces of like, we told you that. And then them actually being able to like go to their doctor and ask for the right things and maybe not admit that they've contacted
Be like,
us.
I've been doing some reading.
Yeah, I think vets probably like me the least because I'll be like, no, don't let them do that because they're just trying to take your money. This isn't what's going on. You need to wait. And they're like, are you sure? I'm like, yes, you need to wait. It's just an allergic reaction or whatever. And the vet's trying to give the animal some kind of disease. And it's like, no, just it's gonna be okay. But then I think too, we also come up against this piece now, different in your situation in the sense that you're in medical settings. But like when I do medical intuition or animal communication, I don't need a physical person to be in the space with me. And I think people kind of go into that place of like, okay, but how are you supposed to read my energy? And it's like, you don't understand. My hospice patients, I have a no, like, don't bug me at night. I'm like you. I need my sleep. I love my sleep. It's really important. Spiritual work is draining. But my hospice patients had full permission to wake me up if they needed me. And I crossed over many patients in the middle of the night because they were calling to me, kind of thing. So, you know, it's like, yeah, energy moves. We don't need to necessarily be physically in that place to be able to read the energy that comes up from it. So, yeah, it's such a wild thing. And I'm really grateful that, you know, people like you are writing books that like bring it to attention. You know, friends that have kids that are in nursing, I'm like, you gotta get this book, you gotta get this journal. And so several of them have. I am always excited when I get a message back that they're like, I bought it. And I'm like,
Oh,
yay.
thank you.
But that awareness, right? You know, one of my dearest friends, her daughter, who's used to talk to her grandmother as a child in spirit, you know, is a nurse now. And I'm like, she needs this book. She needs this because I know she's a witch too. Give her the book. But it is, it's understanding that the worlds collide. You know, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Western medicine. I totally applaud it. But it was also my intuition that said, no, there's something really wrong with me, even though they're like, it seems like the flu, go home. You know, to me coming back 2 days later saying, no, there's really something wrong on with me, and like immediately coding on a CAT scan and spending 2 weeks in ICU, right? Like, we know and we need to listen when we feel like something's wrong. And there's a difference between being a hypochondriac and really actually listening to our physical bodies. And, you know, that's what you're doing is listening to people's physical bodies, but teaching people to acknowledge their bodies, to recognize, like, I was a dancer. We were told to ignore pain. It's just dance through it, just do the thing, just, you know. Whereas, you know, I've moved into an intuitive world and a yoga world where in the yoga world, I'm like, no, if it hurts, you don't do it.
Stop. Yeah, no, you
If
stop.
you can't even do it that far, you take it back even further. Like, we don't, this is not how we roll. We listen to our bodies here. So, you know, teaching people to listen to their bodies, I think, is such a powerful tool in the medical world as well as, you know, in the spiritual world.
It's huge. And I mean, being physically in front of somebody, I feel like is just easier, especially when you're starting. Because
Absolutely.
we're already getting these hits. Again, the science says that critical care nurses typically will actually act on their intuition for the single fact that they don't have the time to second guess.
Oh,
Whereas
that's, yeah.
those on the floor, you know, oh, it's 2 a.m. and I don't want to wake the doctor and he yelled at me the last time. And is it really all that? Like, I don't know. And you talk to your coworkers and they're like, I don't know. And you all talk yourselves out of it. And then something happens. And, you know, then the guilt. Like, we do not talk about the guilt. We do not talk about the grief. We do not talk about the spiritual, mental weight of nursing. Like, how do you come to terms with the fact that somebody's life or many people's lives at any given time are in your hands? Like, You.
Jen will always take me back to my birth story from my first, and I will not share said story because it's traumatic. But the
Fair.
poor nurse that was, I was under her care. I was 24, first baby. I had erratic contractions. My OB came in and broke my water about 5:30, and he said, "I'll see you in the morning. Maybe we'll have a baby." And I was like, in my head, I'm going, yeah, I'm not doing this all night. And because I know my body well enough to know that this isn't happening. And I just, everything about that day felt wrong and felt off and felt like, and nobody, I felt nobody was listening to me and nobody was hearing me. And I felt bad because I had the newest nurse on the floor and the delivery was horrifying to the point where the doctor was suspended for a week with no privileges and no pay. Hence,
Whoa.
I'm not telling you the story. The
Fair,
poor
fair, fair.
nurse spent 2 hours in February, because he's a Valentine's Day baby, standing in the bus shelter just outside the emergency room door, crying after my delivery, because she was so friggin' traumatized
Oh.
by a senior doctor who, and
Yeah,
same thing,
should
right?
have known better.
Hierarchy, right? Like, somebody should have stepped in. Somebody should have helped her. Like, I just,
Charge nurse should have been all over that, like white on rice.
but again, like, it's just one of those things, right? Like, I think about that poor woman and my heart just bled. Like, yes, I had PTSD and I'm sure I needed all the care in the world to deal with what I had actually physically experienced. But seeing that woman and knowing that that was her job and she was in labor and delivery, probably because, you know, it brings her joy to
A happy
bring babies
place.
into the world. It's the happy floor, right? You know, it was so traumatic for her. And I think of those experiences and how many of these young people come into this and just, you know, the trauma that you guys carry. You know, my sister-in-law was a paramedic and I listened to, you know,
Oh.
some of her stories, which she doesn't tell me bad stories, but same thing, like
No.
paramedics, firefighters, police officers, all these first responders and the trauma that you guys carry. It's just, it's incredible. You know, you guys keep doing the things you do every day. So thank you for what you do.
Alcohol helps.
Jennifer.
Listen, I'm off the booze right now. But yeah, it's just, it's just a desensitization process, right? Just
Yeah.
like any of those jobs, the first couple of deaths, like you just hope to God are peaceful and lovely and provided in dignity. You don't wish for anybody to have any sort of first death experience to be something traumatic, because
Correct.
it is
Yeah.
hard. It is hard enough to come to terms with death when it is expected, when it is put in front of you, and our society as a whole is very death phobic,
Oh,
and
yes.
rightfully so. It's
That's a
scary.
whole
Nobody
nother
wants to. That's a
podcast.
whole other podcast. But to then have it in front of you, and 17 years in, I still have issues putting the toe tag on. Like, it is just
Oh,
something, there's just
tell
something
me about
about it
it.
that is so, degrading and final, and zipping up this person in this horrifically smelling, like this plastic bag smells like the worst type of burnt plastic you can ever smell in your life. And zipping somebody up, it feels so unnatural, and you're just like, this
Right.
is awful, and you feel bad. But
Well, I'm sure
I
the spiritual side of you says, like, this is not how we deal with death.
no, the spiritual side of me is like, bitch, you better walk out that soul before you do all of this.
Yeah.
So this is what I do. I teach others that, when somebody dies and emerge, when everything is said and done and family's gone, you can go in there and say, you know what, Mr. Mrs. So and so, I'm so sorry for your loss. But unfortunately, it was your time. It seems like you were really loved. It seems like you led a great life and it was long, and all these things. If you just want to follow me, I'll just walk your soul out the front door, like the ER
Oh,
door here,
Jen.
just so that you're not trapped.
Yeah.
Just follow me. And the number of times that I've done that, and like, it's funny because people used to ask me what I was doing. Now nobody asks. Now people actually ask me, they're like, hey, before we move the body, have you walked the soul out just yet? I'm like, no, I haven't. They're like, oh, do you mind
Can you
if I
do that
watch, or
first?
can you do that first, or can I watch, or can I be a part of it? Like, let me see what you do. the like now we're teaching some nursing students that come in with us, like, hey, this is what we do for death
This is
and
what we
all these
do here
things.
to honor the body. And I
This is
think
still a
there's
person,
a
right?
beautiful piece about that, that regardless of whether you're spiritual and you are acknowledging the spiritual side of things, there is still peace there of what you're doing is honoring the body, which is so huge. So I think that's really beautiful.
Well, and I mean, we teach, like, at least I teach, you still treat the body as if they're a person,
Yeah,
right? Like
absolutely.
you roll them with care. You make sure that they're clean. You make sure you can talk to them. You know, oh, we're just moving you, Mrs. So and so. I'm so sorry. Just one second. You know, you're not just flopping, you
It's,
know,
yeah.
a body around because it's a
There's still
body. Like, no,
reverence.
it's
Yeah.
still you're still very much mindful that this was somebody's mother, this was somebody's father, this was somebody's loved one. Like, would I want somebody just tossing me around? No.
No.
So again, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, whole spiel. So it's like,
Yeah.
you know, death may be final, but we care for this person up until, you know, that point where the funeral home picks them up, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
I think that was one of the things that I always loved about hospice was their rule was in through the front door, out through the front door. And I worked in a hospital kitchen in high school years and years and years ago in the kitchen. And the punch clock was next to the morgue, and everybody went out the back door. And it was such this thing like the even the funeral home and stuff was really mindful about like until they were ready, they stayed in the corridor. They didn't even come around and come out to the morgue door. Like there was just it was almost like it was shameful, even though it wasn't. Like it was just like,
Well,
again, we could have a whole
you want to keep it
podcast about
quiet,
death,
right? You don't
right?
want to upset anybody. And it's the same thing in a merge. So if somebody dies in a merge in the middle of the day, I am so sorry. I would love to keep your body there until the hallway's clear. Guess what? The
Yeah.
hallway is never clear.
Never.
And so, you know, maybe it's just me wanting to remind people that life is final and stuff. So when you see, you know, and it's we try to make it as, you know, unassuming as possible. You know, your stretchers is, oh, there's just a blanket on the stretcher. And sometimes we'll drape it over the side that the rail's done up so that it's just a box looking thing
Right.
versus like a
Yeah.
body like
Yeah.
looking on the stretcher.
But even for me, you know, working in the kitchen, I can't tell you how many times I delivered dinners to people that were already deceased. And there was never any kind of indication. And it was sometimes it was a nurse skittering at you and you were like, oh, don't go in there. And they're like, no, don't go in
No.
there. But sometimes you would deliver the dinner and be like, pretty sure this maybe doesn't need to be here. And then the tray would be outside the door. But again, there was no acknowledgement and of death, or like we just again we're trying to hide it instead of present it as this beautiful thing, you know. And again, I think it's just this piece of like worlds colliding and how do we start to honor things in a way that allows for talking about things, you know, not to go completely off topic, but there's so many things. We don't talk about sex. We don't talk about menopause. We don't talk about fertility and menstruation. We don't talk about
Oh,
death. We don't, like,
nope.
there's so many things. We don't talk about we're, mental health, like all of these things that we're starting to talk about finally that, you know, you guys in the medical profession have been dancing around and trying to figure out how to like do the thing. You know, it's a challenging world that you work in. To be able to.
100%.
And I think if you have that one up of intuition, why not use it? And
Well,
it.
but. And that's the funny thing. We all have it. Absolutely. And
Exactly.
women especially. So when I try to explain, everyone's like, oh, well, what does it feel like? What, like, listen, any woman in any audience, like anybody who's listening, any woman over the age of 12 knows this feeling intimately. You're walking home at night, you feel somebody behind you. You walk into a party and you just automatically, there's a guy in the corner. Creep factor. Nope.
Yeah.
And you do not question it. You just go,
That's
okay.
and that's intuition, right? Like
That's
it's
intuition.
intuition. Yeah.
That's it. That's just, but it's, you know, you when you're throwing in A, the piece about your own self, and then B, about the piece of your own survival, you're heightened to it. You're extra aware of walking into rooms and who's where and what's going on. You may not realize that you're doing it, but you are. But take that feeling and being able to put that into nursing or you know any job really. You're doing something, you happen to walk by somebody and you're just like, oh, Why? No. Nope. Something like I've had it where I've been walking down the hallway and there's people in the hallway on stretchers and my feet have stopped. And I stopped walking and I'm looking at this person going like, "What is the story here? They look like they're on death's door.
Why are they
Let
in the
me
hallway? Why is
Why are they in
continuing
the
talking?
hallway? What are we doing? Are they a full code? Are we doing anything? We not are you doing like where what's the story here?" So, and being charge nurse, like you do have to be aware of everybody who's in the department, if there's any issues going on in the department, if anybody's starting to turn, you need to be aware to be able to react and then and have make sure that everybody's on the same page. Because if somebody's really not doing so well in a back room and you're a newer nurse and you just haven't told anybody, all of a sudden you're doing it all by yourself when in reality we should have moved that person way out of your room hours ago, had the
Right.
doctor take another peek at them, do some things, blah blah blah, and intervene.
Yeah.
But if nobody's checking in on you, then it's like, oh, I'm supposed to handle this all on my own kind of thing. No, you're not. Nursing
Well,
is a team
and that was
sport.
my birthing story. Nobody checked in on her. Nobody
Yeah,
checked in on the
which is
situation. It
horrific.
was just like, here we go.
Horrific.
So, it's challenging. When you say everybody's intuitive and we use it in so many different things, I always joke the best business people are intuitive. They say that, millionaires scoff at psychics and billionaires have them in their back pocket. And it's like, yeah, they do. Yeah,
100%.
like 100%.
100%.
So
Absolutely.
it is such a like, I think we've just like touched the tip of the iceberg when it comes to intuition and taking it into other worlds. And there's definitely those people that would be like, oh, well, that's cheating. And it's like, no, it's not
Trusting
cheating.
your
I didn't
gut.
know the lottery numbers. I didn't know what, like,
Yeah.
I'm still taking a risk by buying that stock. Just because my intuition's saying to buy it doesn't mean that it's going to take off. Maybe it's just, whatever, right? Like, our intuition is such a key component to our barometer, our gut, or like, and it can be such a huge tool in everything we do in our day-to-day life. Like,
Yeah.
it's such a huge tool, and I feel really privileged to be able to take people on that journey and to teach them. And I still feel so privileged to be able to be with people like you who are teaching a next generation that is open to it, and
Yeah.
that will have a different level of healthcare, potentially going forward, because new nurses coming in are aware of this thing called their intuition. And we're
Huge.
not having to disguise it as our spidey sense, but we're actually saying, my intuition is telling me, instead of my spidey sense is going off,
Senses, yeah.
it'll become a word that's acceptable instead. Yeah.
Instead of like dumbing yourself down, because like, again, depending on who you're speaking with, sometimes the best way to serve your patient is just to play dumb. So you go to the physician, hey, I don't know, and what do you think? And maybe could you have a look? I don't know. Like you play dumb because
Yeah.
you know. You're playing to ego. You learn very, very quickly that sometimes you have to play to ego because in reality, that's what's going to get the patient seen.
Yeah.
That's what's going to make my day easier. That's what's
Yeah.
going to get the patient seen. That's going to, prevent something awful from happening, the whole bit. That's the whole key. And so being able to get past that would be fantastic. Do I think it's going to happen in the next 10 years? Probably not. 20, maybe. 20
Maybe
maybe.
we can
Maybe.
be hopeful.
We can be absolutely hopeful, but when I teach, I just tell people, if nothing else, you're advocating for your patient. That's the
Yeah.
word you need to use. That word stops people in their tracks.
Yeah.
So if
It is a
patients
word that I like to use too. You need to
love it.
advocate for yourself. You need
You
to
need to
advocate for
advocate for
your
yourself.
person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Advocate. Yeah.
So when you throw that word out there, you stop people. And so at triage, if you feel like you're being blown off, and not to say that I haven't blown people off because I absolutely have, just say like, I'm just not sure, I need to make sure I'm advocating for myself. That
Yeah.
stops people because those words do not randomly come out of people, unless they need to, usually.
Yeah.
So if you're not getting where you need to go, it's affecting the quality of my daily life. I'm limited in my activities. I'm unsure of where to go next. I'm just advocating for myself. Those types of phrases will make a healthcare professional go, oh, okay, let me just stop myself, let me check myself, because again, you might be hour and 11 and a half out of 12, you're done, you're just looking to go home, you can't help but like, okay, the caring's been turned off, just next and next and next and next and next. And unless somebody says key things that are going to get your spidey senses going, you tend to just, okay, oh, it's just an ankle, it's just an ankle, it's just an ankle, it's just back pain. Cueing me up to, oh, it's been back pain, but now I'm having numbness, tingling going down my leg. Oh, okay, so now there's nerve involvement. Now I'm paying a little bit more attention. Then I know to ask the question, well, have you wet yourself? Have you lost control of your bowels or bladder? If it's a yes, holy crap, that's a one. Now you're at the top of my list. We need to get you an MRI stat. And that's a whole bunch of processes because we don't have an MRI where I'm at. So, you need to be seen by the doctor ASAP. We need to really make sure that we're ruling out that you're not caught equina. And it took me years to even learn about that term. It wasn't something that I was taught in school, or even actually, I don't even know if it was taught in my emergency certificates, but it
But
needs to
I'm
be.
sure for most nurses, doctors, medical professionals, a lot of it is on the job training. You
100%.
experience this, which is funny because as a psychic, I get a lot of on the job training too. It just looks a lot different than your on the job training. But yeah,
I
it
would
is.
love to know what your on the job training looks like.
Spirit likes to give us things in multiple ways so that you've experienced, and it's probably the same thing.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, do you find that? Do you get the same thing like a couple of times in a row where the universe is like, hey, you need to learn this thing. Here's this medical thing that's going on. Now you know when this comes in, this is what happens.
So oddly enough, in the ER, we joke that there's always a theme to the day. There's always, is it back pain day? Is it ankle day? Is it or chest pain day? Is it abdominal pain day? And then deaths usually happen in threes or sevens. So
Oh,
when we've
seven.
had, sometimes, depending on the size of the facility, right? And it might not be that the death's happening in your department. It might just be that
But
the
it's just
death's
the in the
happening
hospital
in
or
the
whatever.
hospital, and you're just not aware of it. But the three we usually catch, and it's usually 24 to 36 hours. That
I've
as soon as you
always known
have
the rule
two,
of
you're like,
three.
oh, you're like, now everybody's on high alert. We're like, who's gonna be the freaking third? Like, who's gonna like, oh.
Oh. Even we had that in family. We were like, oh, somebody else, anybody heard of a third death? Anybody? Anybody? Like, where's number three? We need three. So,
Right?
yeah. Oh, yeah.
100%.
I've never heard seven though. I don't want to go to seven. Seven's too
No.
many.
Well, and again, that's a hospital.
Hospital. Of
That's a
course. Of
hospital.
course. I think, recognizing our intuition, recognizing our spidey senses. I think I probably would have died at home had I not advocated for myself when I was sick and said, no, something is really wrong with me. This is not normal. This is not the flu. This is not like somebody pay attention to me. And I, it took two visits, but it was only because they didn't find anything on the first one. I had to get sicker before, that they actually,
Anything was.
but even then, my ex-boyfriend who was an anesthesiologist, when I phoned him for some medical advice, he came flat. He was like, I'm gonna go into my superior and I'm gonna ask for an emergency leave of absence and I'll be back tomorrow to check on you. And he said to my mom, the stuff we said to you is what we tell families when we have no idea what's going on and we're not sure if they're gonna live. So, advocating for ourselves is so important. Listening to our intuition, it's huge. So, yay.
It's one of those things that our society as a whole puts a lot of pressure on us to ignore basic instincts. As a nurse, I don't have to go pee. I don't have time to go pee right now. I'm gonna hold it. Oh, I'm starving. I can't. I gotta push through. I gotta, oh, I'm tired. Well, I can't have a nap right now. I've gotta do this, I've gotta do that, blah, 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 blah. And then you throw, a family into the mix, forget about it,
Good luck. Okay. Where can we get your stuff, Jen? How can people buy your book?
Oh my
Because
God. So if you go on Amazon and you look up Jennifer A. Johnson, RN, you will come upon my store, which is, Nursing Intuition. So both ebook and paperback, as well as hardcover. You will get access to all the journals. There's a grief journal in there. There's also a nurse's wellness journal. There's a daily or monthly planner for wellness for special needs parents. There's a ton that's kind of like in and around the same rough themes of just people that we continue to miss.
Thank you for acknowledging those that keep getting missed.
Yes. We know, and we're sorry. As Canadian as it is, we're sorry. Yeah, so that's how you can find me on Amazon. You can find me at RX for Growth, forgrowth.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Jennifer Johnson, BSCNRN, and TikTok and Instagram are at ernurse.jen, JENN.
I promise
So
I will drop all of that in the show notes
it
so people
will,
don't
and
have
I
to take
maybe.
notes.
I
It'll
know.
all
I'll
be
send you
down
other
there in the
stuff.
show notes so you can find it.
I'll send
Jen,
you the thing.
thank you so much for chatting today. I think we should do this again and talk about death because I think
Yeah.
that's a really like, yeah. So let's make a plan. So people,
Let's do
there'll be
that.
another one coming. We're gonna talk about death. But thank you so much for coming and chatting with us today and sharing your gift, your beautiful book. And you know, increasing the awareness of intuition in kind of the medical world, which is so beautiful. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure, as per usual.